Hard Glass, and it's time for another It's All About Food. Thank you for joining me. It's February 26, 2013, and my question for you today is, how many push-ups can you do? I mean, the real ones. We were just having a little fun here in the studio, and I just did 10. Not bad. Maybe next time I'll try for 15, and who knows. But one thing is clear. I am fueled by plants. And that's the secret, plant food. We're going to be talking about a lot of plant food power today, especially Food for Life. That's the title of this show, Food for Life. Actually, the title comes from the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine, PCRM. They have a wonderful program called Food for Life. We talked about it a few weeks ago a little bit, and now we're going to dive right in. And I wanted to let you know, you can call in and ask questions, or you can email me and ask questions anytime during the program or any other time. So I'm just going to remind you, 1-888-874-4888. That's a lot of eights. 888-874-4888. And my email is info@realmeals.org. info@realmeals.org. So send in your questions. If you have any food questions, and I know you do, we're going to address them. Great. So we have lots of guests today. It's going to be a food party. And I'm going to introduce two of them right now. Well, no, maybe three of them. I've got Susan Levin. She's the Director of Nutrition Education at the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine. And that's the Washington, D.C.-based nonprofit organization dedicated to promoting preventative medicine, especially better nutrition and higher standards in research. And I've got Danielle Pryor. And she manages the Food for Life Nutrition and Cooking Class program, supervising 85 instructors, teaching 1,300 classes across the United States in 150 cities. I love numbers, don't you? That's a lot of good numbers. And she also manages the marketing of the organization's continuing education events and the Cancer Projects and Diabetes Initiatives programs, products, and services. And joining me here in the studio is one of the Food for Life instructors, Jenny Steinhagen. And then you have me. So here we go. Let's start talking for Food for Life. Welcome to It's All About Food, Susan and Danielle and Jenny.
Hi.
Hi, that's one.
That's Susan.
Hi, this is Danielle. Thanks for having me.
Hi, Danielle. How about Susan?
Hey, how's it going?
Good. And Jenny right here.
Karen, it's so exciting to be with you here today and with Danielle and Susan on the phone.
Great.
Hey, Jenny.
Okay, so Food for Life. Susan, you want to tell us, how did Food for Life get started? What is it? What do we need to know about it?
Sure. Food for Life actually started as the Cancer Project. So it was a program dedicated to teaching cancer survivors or people interested in cancer prevention, and who isn't, how to eat the most optimal diet to ensure prevention and survival of cancer. So that was in 2001, and it has since become much bigger, tackling such issues as diabetes and weight issues, general well-being, and then, of course, kids, a class that focuses on kids. So we've grown into this huge teaching program across the country, across the world, actually, and we're so grateful for all of our instructors out there that are spreading this message of health.
Excellent. Well, I think that it does apply to all illnesses for the most part, because sometimes I like to say they're all the same disease. They just appear differently in different bodies based on a lot of different things, but eating the wrong foods, not boosting our immune system with the right foods, inflammation, cause the body to fall apart in all kinds of unpleasant ways.
Yeah, and I think that's why, I mean, that's exactly right, and I think that's why we look at researchers and scientists who do a study on one particular disease or one way this disease manifests. So let's say heart disease, where Dr. Dean Ornish in the early 90s you looked at how do we prevent and reverse heart disease, and lo and behold, while he figured out how to do that with a diet, a plant-based diet, he also found the side effects were things like better insulin sensitivity, less joint pain, fewer migraines. So what you're saying is right. Like, you change your diet and all of these manifestations of disease start to get better, which is truly amazing.
Just a little bit on semantics for a minute. So you just mentioned side effects, and I love it. The side effects of the plant-based diet, they're not, we normally think of negative things when we think of side effects, but they're actually bonuses.
Exactly. And we, you know, whenever you do a clinical trial or some kind of study, you always have to monitor the side effects of that study. And usually these might be pharmaceutical drug tests or whatever, what have you.
Right. Suicide tendencies,
increased
risk of this.
Sure. But with this study, side effects tend to be things that we can pretty much all relate to. Like, oh, my energy level has increased. My joint pain has gone away. And these aren't even the reasons why I'm in this study. I was here to help my type 2 diabetes. So, and all of this branches out into all these other studies that people say, wait, what? Your rheumatoid arthritis improved? Well, let's look at that. Let's look at and see how diet works on that. So that's how we have this, you know, shelves and shelves worth of studies showing how this kind of eating can improve, you know, it can do anything except maybe your taxes.
But you'll have energy to do them.
You'll have energy to do your taxes.
And less stress, and you'll be able to manage the challenges of doing taxes. Yeah, I think it helps doing taxes too.
Okay, let's go ahead and just say that. Everything, it helps everything.
All right. Food for Life. It consists of selecting training instructors and then having events and sharing this information with people that attend the events.
That's right. And maybe I'll let Danielle, who really oversees the training and contact with all of our mini instructors, address that issue.
Okay.
Sure. The Food for Life classes are taught by our network of certified Food for Life instructors and our Education Alliance partners. And so we have classes that are being taught by, actually, you mentioned the 85 instructors that are certified. Actually, we've grown to 115 instructors, yeah, that are located in 37 states all around the United States, plus the District of Columbia. And our instructors are super passionate about empowering their fellow community members about fighting diseases through plant-based nutrition. And so they have a variety of backgrounds. They're nurses and dietitians and physicians, cancer survivors. They might be chefs and teachers. They come from a variety of professional experiences. And then they come to our training and get certified to be able to teach the classes in their community. And then in addition to our network of instructors, we also partner with various organizations and businesses with a wellness and nutrition focus so that they can incorporate the Food for Life classes into their existing programmatic offerings. And so these institutions are our Food for Life Education Alliance partners, mm-hmm. and we have 80 of them that are all around the world in 12 countries. And they are teaching the classes as part of their organization's programming.
Nice.
So between our instructors and Education Alliance partners, we have 200 individuals and institutions that are currently teaching the Food for Life program around the world. And we offer, PCRM offers a training for people and institutions that would like to become certified to teach the program. We hold those twice a year, and they are 3 days long, and they are held in Washington, D.C. at Physicians Committee's headquarters, and the next training is going to be on June the 26th through the 28th.
Now, how does somebody get to go to this? Is there a charge? Do you have to be selected? Do you have to have some sort of previous experience or background in food?
You don't have to be a chef. But we do have an application. So you can actually access that application and learn more about the training and what are our ideal candidates, what their background and experience and expertise would be by visiting PCRM's website, and that's www.pcrm.org/SFL. So P as in physicians, C as in committee, R as in responsible, and then M as in medicine.org/S as in food, F as in four, L as in life.
Very good. All right. Well, I think it sounds like a really terrific program.
Yeah, it's really it really is a comprehensive training. We have lectures on the latest research on plant-based nutrition for disease prevention and survival, and those presentations are delivered by PCRM's nutrition experts, including our organization's founder and president, Dr. Neil Barnard, and also Susan Levin. And we also present tips and techniques on how to carry out and promote the classes. And we even bring in an accomplished Food for Life instructor to discuss his or her best practices for conducting the classes. And then one of the neat elements of the training is that we actually have each of the training participants deliver a live cooking demonstration similar to what they would do when they are back home and teaching the classes back in their communities. And they do these cooking demonstrations in front of their peers so they can kind of road test all of the information that they've learned throughout the training by delivering, you know, this cooking demonstration. And then they get the feedback from their peers and PCRM staff so that they can take all that good information and feedback back home when they deliver the classes in their communities.
That's fun.
It really is, yeah. And I know, you know, Jenny participated in the training last year, so she could probably even speak to her experience as a participant
what
in the training.
What did you make for your food demo, Jenny?
I have to tell you, I was assigned a muesli recipe, and I'm not even joking or kidding about the fact that I had it this morning. I really got into this recipe. I mean, there's so much positive energy and support from the team there in D.C. and all of these different instructors coming from all over the world that it's really contagious. And as someone who participated in this training just last year, I can tell you a little bit about the motivation for somebody who might want to get involved. I had heard about the PCRM Food for Life classes back in 2006, and I had taken a couple rounds of those. But in early 2012, cancer hit again close to home. And I threw my hands up in the air and for a moment was kind of wallowing in that, wow, what's going on in this world we live in? And then I got an email from PCRM and I remembered that there are really amazing, talented people out there who are spreading this message of empowerment and of hope. And I'm proud and privileged to be able to share this message. And that's what motivates me to give these classes here in New York.
Good for you. Well, we need you and a billion more. I just want to talk about muesli for a minute, the thing that you made in your class. And if my neighbor is listening, this is for you, because we were just having a conversation yesterday about oatmeal, and she was complaining that it's boring. And it doesn't have to be boring. And it just, there are so many things that you can add to oats, or it could be flaked wheat or flaked rye or other flaked grains, and you add your raw nuts and seeds and your fresh fruits, and every day can be a new experience. It could be the same, but it's fabulous.
It really is, and it opened my eyes up, too, to the number of different non-dairy milks out there. I mean, I make my own at home as well, but when you check these shelves, especially at these markets here in the city, there are so many different kinds. And we introduce non-dairy milks in the classes to people because a lot of times people have heard of them or maybe glanced at them but aren't necessarily sure what they are or what they might taste like. But you can really play around, like you said, with the flavors and combinations.
Yeah, you have to have testings of non-dairy milk sometimes just to have people try. And the one more thing about oats, I'm kind of nutty about oats these days. And I know not everybody can eat oats. There are some people that have gluten intolerances that also extend over to the protein that is in oats that causes a little problem. But aside from that, soak your oats. You know, we talk about soaking your nuts. Soak your oats. You can prepare your oats the night before, put a little non-dairy milk on it, and it's all nice and gooey and soft in the morning when you're ready to go. There are just so many different ways to make it, and it's easy. And I'm sure, just for a minute, you have recipes for Food for Life that are accessible for just anybody? Yes.
Go ahead. Okay, sorry. Yeah, absolutely. Each of our Food for Life classes has a textbook that accompanies it. And so we have all of the recipes that are part of the classes in that class textbook. So we have hundreds of recipes that are in those textbooks. And on PCRM's websites, we have huge databases of recipes that are accessible. And then we even have a recipe of the week email that we send out on a weekly basis that highlights a different recipe each week.
The plant food world is full of abundance. We are just overloaded with wonderful, tasty, delicious recipes. There is not a void here, folks. No deprivation. Recipes are everywhere. All right, so now you've got your instructors trained, and they go forth and look for willing participants in their area to listen to their program. How does that work? Danielle, do you want to talk about how instructors might get people, or how does that work with people that come to a program to learn what
Sure.
the instructors have learned? Is it the same thing what the instructors have learned? Is it slightly different?
Well, yeah. So, you know, people are looking for information on what to eat, and our Food for Life classes really help with sorting through all that information that's out there, from, you know, diet books to websites and what have you. And so you can go to our website, that pcrm.org/FFL, to find a class in your area. And you'll find hundreds of classes that are currently scheduled and are open for registration right there on the website. And then folks can select the class in their area. And then on each class webpage, you'll find information about when and where the class is being held and then how to register. And, you know, once the attendee comes to the class, you'll find that it's really an interactive kind of multi-sensory experience. It's really neat in that you'll watch a video lecture that's delivered by Dr. Barnard that explains the science behind how certain foods and nutrients work to promote health. And then you'll actually watch a live cooking demonstration, just like they practice at the training. The Food for Life instructors do those live cooking demonstrations of healthful, delicious vegan dishes. And then the class participant will also receive helpful cooking tips on how to prepare, you know, low-fat, high-fiber, plant-based recipes that consist of fruits and vegetables and grains and legumes. And then probably the best part of it all is you actually get to taste those dishes. So you get to experience just how delicious this way of eating truly is.
I've said this many, many times. Jenny, you've probably heard me say this many, many times, but people have lost their way to the kitchen, and they need to find their kitchens. So certainly, I think all of us here want people to eat plant foods, and there's lots of reasons to do that, not just for health, but also for the cruelty issues related to the killing of animals and the mistreatment of animals, and also the environmental issues. But people in general would do much better if they knew how to prepare meals at home. Anything. They would do much better. People have no idea what's in their food. They're eating food that's in restaurants or prepared or to go, and there's all kinds of unfriendly ingredients in those foods. So just giving them some basic skills is so important.
This is Susan. I just wanted to amen you on that one, because I do think a lot of times people, while I am no chef and Jenny and Danielle could cook circles around me, I recognize that I have to actually prepare my own foods, on occasion at least, just to be able to get the kinds of nutrients the way that my body wants them. So I don't think there's, like, really there's no shortcut around this, like you're saying. People are going to have to get back in their kitchens. As much as we've worked and marketing has worked for decades to get us out of the kitchen, I think we have to fight that and get back, because generally that's how we're going to get healthy again. And that's, you know, I think that trying to figure out a quick fix and, well, where can I eat? What fast food can I eat? And there's certainly some you can eat on occasion that isn't as bad as other choices, and eating out is okay. And but at some point we're going to have to cook a bean or cook a grain, make some greens, and just put that time back into our health, like invest in our health, because it's not a quick fix all the time, even though there are certainly quick and easy recipes, as Jenny can attest, because that's what she presents to her class participants. It's going to involve at least a can opener, you know, just do something in your kitchen, and it will pay off in the end.
Well, let's talk a little bit more about this, because it's such an important point. Our cultures got on this crazy path, and I don't think any of us realized it was happening while it was happening, because technology came along and there were all kinds of newfangled products and appliances that we could use, and then restaurant prices just kept going down and down, and the world changed in front of us, and now we're starting to realize the repercussions, and it's bad health and a bad environment, and we're doing horrible things to animals. So we need to get back to the path. We need to find our kitchen, and I know there's lots of cookbooks out there today with those slogans, fast food, you know, recipes, quick and easy, under 30 minutes, under 20 minutes, 5 minutes. And it's, we don't want to go there. And you probably talk about this in your class, but people need to realize that there are such great benefits to making their own food. And rather than making things fast, I think our desires need to change, our priorities need to change, and making food can be fun if we learn how to organize and plan. It fits in with our busy lifestyle, and there's this philosophy that applies to life about acceptance. When something bad happens, the best way to deal with it is to accept it and then figure out how to deal with it and move forward. It's all about acceptance and not resisting. And so many people are resisting. Their health is bad. They're resisting going into the kitchen. They're resisting eating well. Stop resisting. Do you have tools for that? I'm certainly, the people that come to your classes are willing. But there's got to be a lot of people that are resisting one way or another. Even if they come to the class, I imagine there's some resistance. You want to say something, Jenny?
Well, one of the aspects of the Food for Life program that I really like is that, yes, we're sending people back in the kitchen, but we're telling them you're not alone. And one of the great things about the recurring classes, like I have a 4-class series coming up, is that participants are going in there knowing that their fellow participants are doing the same, and they come back and they talk about their experiences. So there is this therapy-like component of the classes for people who realistically have strayed from their kitchen and have strayed from this idea that they can fit it into their busy lifestyles. At the same time, I think that Food for Life classes are realistic about the types of recipes that we're providing people, because there are, I don't want to say unhealthy shortcuts, because I don't think that we're steering them in that direction, but for people who want to pop into the grocery store, we have prepared lists that PCRM has put together for a number of different recipes to make it as easy as possible for them, so that they feel armed. They feel like they have some support going into their kitchens.
Well, when I say we've gotten off the path, I don't want to knock technology, because there's a lot of benefits and there's a lot of convenience that we've garnered from it. And we have to use that to our best advantage. So we have canned foods, and there are good canned foods, and there are bad canned foods, and some can make life a lot easier, and some are loaded with sodium and all kinds of other not-so-good things, but it's good that you have a list. Now, is that list available online for anybody, or is it just for class participants?
Well, I think what Jenny does have a list that you would have to be lucky enough to get into one of her classes to get your hands on that special list. But we do have an online program called the Kickstart, 21-day Kickstart, that is free to the public. It's a 21-day, walk you through how to adopt a plant-based diet. And on that, we have a lot of resources like that. It's not as good as when Jenny gives it, but it is available online, and you can download little features like that, like a basics grocery list.
Chicken and egg question. Which is better to take first, the 21-day kickstart or your Food for Life class?
Oh, my. Oh, my. We do. I mean, our Kickstart online program came before our Kickstart Food for Life program because we realized after 21 short days, people were really into this and felt a little, well, what do I do now? What, you know, I want to keep going. I want more of this information. And that's when we decided that our instructors, like Jenny, would be the best face to this program, live face to the program, so they could go out there and teach it to sustain it for the rest of your life. Because as you know, this is a total lifestyle change of just embracing health forever. This is not how do I get into my bikini for spring break. This is your whole life, improving your whole life forever. And it's amazing. And it just really helps to have this live program, even if the 21-day kickstart was just your first taste. Although, that being said, it's a perfectly good way to, once your class is over with Jenny, you can go to the 21-day kickstart online and just brush up and stay informed and until Jenny hosts another class that you can sign up for.
Now, once you're a certified instructor, are there refresher courses that you need to take to stay certified? Because there's stuff coming out all the time. We're learning all the time about new things with food.
Yeah, we actually, as part of our benefit of becoming certified as a Food for Life instructor, we offer professional development conference calls for all of our Food for Life instructors and Educational Alliance partners. They're monthly, and they're conference calls that folks call into, and Susan and our other nutrition experts often give presentations on the latest information that's out there and research that's out there on plant-based nutrition that the instructors can take back and share in their classes.
Okay. Jenny, could you just tell us about the course that you're offering coming up in March?
Absolutely. So this is a four-class series of the Food for Life Cancer Project. They are the first four Saturdays in March, and they're being held at the Open Center in Midtown from 3:30 to 5:30. In these four, this four-class series, we follow the format that was discussed a little bit earlier, where we form the community, people get to know one another, and then we are watching videos that were prepared by Dr. Barnard and PCRM, and that's where the nutrition topic and lesson for each class is really explored. And there is some really impactful information in these videos. I had a class this past Sunday in which the participants, after watching the video, some of them were just blown away. Just little things they just didn't know. Or maybe they weren't ready to hear it before. Mm-hmm. And then you get to the point in your life where you're ready to hear it. So we watch those videos, and then I prepare 3 to 4 different dishes in the class.
That's the fun part.
That's the fun part, yes. And they're very colorful dishes. You were talking earlier about how we can get creative with the variety in our food. Well, one thing I love about these classes, and I know this because I'm preparing them at home, so many times in advance of the class, they're so colorful. Mm-hmm. It's really invigorating. And then we sample them, and people get to share their opinions on it, and we discuss questions. And then we send people home with a little bit of a challenge, some homework, if you will, to make some of these new recipes and to learn a little bit more about really what's out there. So the first class is setting the stage. It's having people make this connection between diet and health or diet and disease. And we talk about the statistics about how, you know, 40 to 50% of all cancers can be traced to diet. And some people are blown away by that. In the next class, we talk about, well, what about fat, low fat and fiber? We hear that this is good for us, but why? Mm-hmm. So we explore that and focus on some of those low fat, high fiber foods. The third class is really fun. We're looking at meat and dairy alternatives, and that's where we explore the non-dairy milks and some of the other types of foods that they're not quite transition foods, but they are giving people ideas for, well, what do I do in a situation where I used to always order a burger? Oh, I'll get the veggie burger. You know, so simple things. We're just helping people to put the pieces together. And then in the last class, cancer-fighting compounds and healthy weight control, where we talk a little bit more about the benefits. You were saying the side effects, the benefits that come along with this diet. You're not just arming yourself against cancer, but hey, benefits related to diabetes, hypertension, high cholesterol, and of
everything.
Course, weight. Yes, exactly.
And aging. You
and
look
aging.
Good. Right?
Yes.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break, Susan and Danielle, stay with us, and we're going to come back. I want to talk more about some of the favorite questions, the challenges people have, and we'll see what more. We'll be right back. We are back. I'm having such a good time here that I just started talking about one of my favorite subjects. It's the other subject, not food, and we'll get to that in a little bit. I'm having a little joke with myself here. All right, so here we are. We're talking about food for life. I am here in the studio with Jenny Steinhagen, and we have the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine, Susan Levin here, and Danielle Pryor. Okay, did you have a good break?
Great break.
Okay, great. let's talk about some of those favorite questions that people always ask. You know, you can never get tired of where you get your protein, can you?
No, but you get really good at toning down the sarcasm when you respond. You know, you try to like, okay, now I'm going to do this with a smile and with a sincere nod. And yes, where do you get your protein?
Well, you know, it's funny because toning down the sarcasm, and that's a good way to put it, because so many people are hearing it for the first time. They just don't know. And we have to be respectful of that, right? Okay, let's talk about, I want to talk about beans, okay? Do you talk in your class about eating beans and preparing beans?
We sure do. We have one of our recipes for the very class series that Jenny is going to be presenting coming up. It's our Food for Life Cancer Project series, and one of the favorite recipes of that class series is our Easy Bean Salad. And it's super easy, and I personally love it because I haven't met a bean that I don't like. So, and it's super, super easy. So, you know, all you do is you take canned kidney beans, canned black beans, black-eyed peas and lima beans, you rinse them, and then you drain them, and then you throw them into a bowl, and you throw in some corn and some chopped onions and bell peppers and some low-fat salad dressing. You stir it all up, and voila, you have a dish. And it's so great because you can eat it alone, or you can put it on top of a salad or throw it in a wrap, and it's just the most easy, yummy, colorful. It's really, when you see it all assembled there together, it's really beautiful. So it's just a really amazing dish. And then it's got tons of fiber, tons of protein. So it's just really packed with a lot of nutrients.
We're learning more and more about beans, and they're really an amazing food, and they really help keep us feel full, satisfied. And they're packed with lots of good things in them. Now, and they're inexpensive. One of the challenges is some people try and cook the beans at home rather than canned. They'll start from dry, and there are some challenges with that. Do they soak beans? Do they not soak beans? Some people, when they cook beans, they get that foamy water in the beans. What do they do about that? Is that good or is that bad? Do you have any tips on preparing beans and soaking and cooking?
We do. We talked a little bit about the textbook that goes along with the Cancer Project classes. And that book is also available as a free PDF download on the PCRM website. But people are encouraged to check it out. On page 13, there's actually a chart, and it talks about the cooking yield of dried beans. So it breaks down for people, yes, that soaking question and how long you want to cook the beans for once you are making them at home. And I think this is eye-opening for a lot of people. It may seem really simple in certain circles, but I gave a class on Sunday, and we were talking about the price comparison between canned beans and dried beans, and I had a couple blank stares when I was talking about cooking beans at home. And I mentioned that one of the tips I had picked up along the way was putting a little bit of kombu and some dried seaweed into the beans to reduce the gassiness eventually. And again, blank stares. Mm-hmm. So I realized that you have to break this down for people a lot, and I think that there's a lot of good information out there.
Yeah, there is the part about the gas, and that turns a lot of people away from beans because people, when they're not used to eating them, will get gassy. And even if you're used to eating them but you don't eat them all the time, you can have gas. And gas really isn't accepted very well in our culture. Oh, what do people do with gas?
I don't know.
Danielle, Susan, do you have any tips for dealing with beans and dealing with gas? All right. Susan, are you there? Danielle, are you there? Oh, goodness, I guess we lost them. Okay, we'll bring them back. We miss you. In the meanwhile, I wanted to talk a little bit about resistant starch, which is kind of this fun thing that I've been talking about lately, especially when I was talking to Dr. Joel Fuhrman the other day. So it's something that scientists have discovered in food, and it's in beans, and it's kind of a fun component of food because it doesn't get digested until the lower intestine and in the colon, and it's almost like free calories. You can eat these foods, and the calories that are written on the can, apparently with beans and some other foods that are high in resistant starch, we don't absorb all of those calories. And I think that's fun. There have been a lot of discussions about plant-based diets and how magical they seem in terms of all the food you can eat, and you don't seem to be getting all the calories. And I've heard lots of different theories that plant foods are really efficient and they burn clean, and I don't know, all different things about calories. But here's an example of where the food gets digested impacts how many calories we're actually taking in. And calories can translate into energy that we burn, but it can also translate into fat that accumulates. And so this is a magical ingredient in those beans, resistant starch. So how are we doing? Susan and Danielle, are they back yet? Oh, okay.
I'm back. Oh, so am I. Yeah.
Oh, we missed you so much. I was just babbling here about resistant starch because I've been learning a bit about it and how amazing it is and is in beans. And it's sort of a free ticket where you can eat more for less because the calories aren't all absorbed.
It's like the magic of weight loss and plant-based diets is that you consume more food in terms of volume, but you're digesting so many fewer calories because, you know, they're non-digestible carbohydrates that just come right back out. So, but in the meantime, they're delivering all sorts of powerful nutrients and phytochemicals and vitamins and minerals to your body. So it's just this real key to health that I feel like is, if people only knew, like if you only knew how much of this you could eat and get healthier and feel fuller but be slimmer, I mean, it's just kind of the key to everything.
I know, we just want everybody to feel good, and it costs less money, and you won't have the aches and pains. I know, and the food's delicious. How many times can I say it? I'm going to say it over and over and over and over because clearly a lot of people haven't heard that message. What about, do people ask you in the classes about quick fixes or certain foods or products they've heard about? You know, can I take this or is this good? As an example, we've been hearing about raspberry ketones and how magical they are in weight loss. How do you address those super one-item things that seem to be the fix-all?
Jenny, do you want to?
Well, in the classes, we definitely focus on whole foods and clean whole foods and the four new food groups that PCRM advocates, the vegetables, the fruits, grains, and legumes in their whole form. And definitely when you're taking them in that state, you're also getting the fiber associated with that keeps things moving as well. But yeah, you're right. People, they hear all kinds of bits and pieces of nutritional information that's out there. And I try to steer them to the PCRM website because especially at nutritionmd.org, which is one of PCRM sites, there is a ton of factual, evidence-based information that addresses a lot of these more specific type questions that, especially when new things, trendy things come up and people are curious.
Yeah, people are always looking for that quick fix, and the bottom line is there is no quick fix. It's a lifestyle, it's a commitment, it's choosing all of the right plant-based foods and finding your kitchen. Find your kitchen already. Okay, another favorite topic, maybe uncomfortable for some, but whenever you change your diet, and it can be going from a good diet to a bad diet or a good diet to a better diet, but whenever you're playing with the food you eat, your bowels respond. And people discover different things, some good, some not so good. But do you talk about the changes people will see in the body when they're changing their diet?
I mean, yes. So we get this type of question all the time because consider that the average American consumes about 12 to 15 grams of fiber a day, which is not nearly even what our government recommends. But we recommend about 40 grams a day, which is much closer to what the government recommends. So you can imagine when you go from 12 to 40, what might happen inside your body. It's just, it is shock from the inside out. And it's not, and we don't recommend actually going from 12 to 40 overnight because literally your body will, it will protest in several ways. So you want to add that fiber in slowly over the course of a couple of weeks and build up to that level of health, digestive health. And once you're there and your body recognizes what fiber is and that foods move, they're not supposed to sit in your colon, they're supposed to move out of your colon, your body catches on and it starts kicking it out and you become a very regular person, which can be frightening for some people. Like, what is this? Is this normal? Am I dying? No.
Yeah, I'm going two or three times a day. Is that okay?
Can you imagine? I know. It's wonderful. It's like, yes, that's right. That's what's supposed to happen. All that stuff is coming back out. And it's not just the resistant starch that you mentioned earlier. It's not just that. It's the excess hormones that you don't want floating around in your body. It's the excess cholesterol that you don't want floating around in your body. It's other toxins that fiber's picking up and pulling out for you. So it's a wonderful thing to have your digestive tract moving all the time.
Now, people get really confused because most people aren't experts in nutrition. Most people know very little about nutrition, and the way they learn is usually from commercials, from television programs, from an occasional magazine article, men's health, women's health, really excellent sources for nutrition. I'm being sarcastic here. And they get confused. And then there's the night news where there's a 5-second soundbite about something that everybody must do or not do. But in addition to that, even in the plant-based movement of people encouraging plant-based diets, we're not in 100% agreement on some things, and that can be confusing too. You know, do we eat more starch? Do we eat more greens? Do we salt our food? Do we oil our food? Are fats okay? Are they not okay? What's the PCRM spin on eating plant foods?
I'll jump in. Our plan is extremely evidence-based. Like, this is, we're looking at peer-reviewed research articles, which no one else wants to do, so we're happy to do that for the public and then translate that into our Food for Life courses. So the research continually shows that the best diets for prevention, which is always key, but also for reversal of a lot of these symptoms, so things like heart disease and type 2 diabetes, where there is reversal is an option there. Over and over, these articles show that what you want is not only plant-based, so get the animal products out, but low-fat, so don't drown your food in olive oil. Don't eat a jar of peanut butter for dinner, even though these products are plant-based. They are not optimal for prevention and reversal of these diseases. So that's the approach we're taking. And it's not to say that when another advocate of plant-based diets is promoting oils and fats in the diet that you might be doing better than the standard American. I'm sure you will be. But we're really going all out here with our information. We refer to it as a very conservative approach to health. We are eliminating as much risk as possible with diet so that we can see real change in most of the epidemics in this country.
Low fat. Now, that can mean different things to different people. And there have been a lot of studies that have talked about low fat and high fat, and their version of low fat was not very low fat, but just lower to the standard American diet. And then there are some that eat a very, very low fat diet, which for me is too low. So there's all different kinds of low fat. What's your definition of low fat?
Well, we recommend, and this is what Dr. Dean Ornish and Dr. Caldwell Esselstyn and other researchers have found to work, around 10% of your calories from fat. So with a little more flexibility for people who aren't dealing with type 2 diabetes or heart disease, or trying to, you know, survive, cancer survivor, or at high risk for getting cancer. But for people in any of those categories, which unfortunately is most of America, we're suggesting about 10% of your calories from fat. So that generally means eliminating all of the processed oils and some of the fatty foods like avocado, and even nuts and seeds to some degree. Now, a little bit of nuts and seeds is fine, but very little, and we recognize that for some people it's extremely difficult to eat a handful of walnuts. They tend to eat a bag of walnuts. So we're just, you know, we put all sorts of, if you're going to eat nuts and seeds, it has to be a small portion, and this, again, is just approach that has been proven to reverse and prevent these diseases.
Okay. Well, I think it's really important for people to realize that they should be eating whole, minimally processed foods. We can all agree on that. I personally don't use very much oil. Occasionally I will if I'm making a treat, certainly. I'm not going to hold back. But the key I'm always saying about treats is they're treats. And we don't have treats every day. Then they're not treats.
That's true.
But then there are foods that seem like treats that are just whole foods, and they're fun to have too. And there's some great desserts we can have for breakfast because they're just fruits and, well, some raw nuts and seeds too. I don't hold back on them, but I'm not eating a jar of peanut butter either. I recognize that the whole plant food fats are important, especially for eating green leafy vegetables. In order to get those fat-soluble nutrients, we need to be eating a little bit of fat with them. So fat is important, and I think people can get a little confused when they hear, don't eat this and don't eat that. But I'm sure you go over that in your classes.
One of the things that we demonstrate in the cooking classes, too, is that people can saute vegetables, especially onions, which is often the first ingredient in a lot of dishes, in vegetable broth. It's pretty mind-blowing for a lot of people. They just thought you always had to sauté in oil, and that's really a liberating concept.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a sweet and sour stir-fry that we make in the second class, and we're sautéing our onions and our vegetables in some vegetable broth, but then we're adding some toasted sesame seeds on top, too, so you're getting a little bit of that crunch, right, from the sesame seeds and a little bit of that whole food-based fats, perhaps.
Right. It's all about getting back into the kitchen and maybe learning some skills that your ancestors weren't using. And we aren't just getting better. And, yeah, you can sauté in other things, dry sauté or sauté in vegetable broth. I like to use tea sometimes. Mm-hmm. Or you can get a little decadent with some beer or wine. I don't know if that's on the PCRM
daytime class.
Daytime class, but sometimes if you open up a bottle of wine and don't finish drinking it, it's great to cook with. There's just a lot of tricks that make delicious food and make it healthy. Okay. I have just a few more things here. We just have a few more minutes. Are there things that we haven't touched on that you want to include, Susan or Danielle?
Well, I don't know. Maybe Danielle and did a pretty good job of explaining where all of our resources lie, but if you aren't lucky enough to live in Jenny's neighborhood, just to remember that there are instructors of her quality all over the country. So there's classes probably in most listeners' area.
I forgot to talk about kids. You mentioned kids, and it is so challenging for parents to raise children in today's world and feed them well, especially with Lunchables and all kinds of horrible things that are available and marketed to children. So what's a parent to do?
Well, a parent can do so much, and it does take a little bit of forethought. So the younger that the kid is, when you impart nutrition knowledge, the better, so that you aren't having to combat the taste of certain foods. Like, well, we've been going to fast food every night for my child's first 10 years. How do I stop doing that now? It's possible, but they're not driving there, so it is possible, but
right.
It's harder. So trying, like you keep saying, get back in the kitchen, give your children the taste of real food, try to impart as much information as possible, make it fun, make it interactive, and even if they veer off the plan once they do have access to a driver's license, the knowledge is there, and they tend to come back to what they know from childhood, so it's really important to get this information to the parents and to the children.
There's a new book out, I don't know if you've read it, Salt, Sugar, Fat by Michael Moss, and I was just reading a piece of it in the New York Times Magazine this weekend. But one of the things he talked about was how heavily marketed children are. And one of the things that they've learned is that kids like to feel like they have power over their choices. And when the parent says, you know, I want you to eat this and this, they want it to be their idea. And I'm thinking that there's got to be a way to use all of those tricks that the marketing people are using to feed our children bad foods, to take those same tricks and use them to empower kids to eat more healthfully.
Well, I have to tell you, one of the most brilliant things I ever heard was from a Food for Life instructor who actually has three children. And she, when she goes to the grocery store, she hands each of them a little basket, which I'm sure is almost as big as they are, and says, fill it up with anything in the produce section, any vegetable, any fruit, no matter how weird it looks. And the challenge is that, and it doesn't matter how she, doesn't say, no, a star fruit is too expensive. So she lets them get what they want, and then they go home and figure out how to make it. Even if she's looking at this thing like, I don't even know what this is, they together find a recipe, and they figure out how to cook it. And the child, because he or she picked it out, is even more likely, because of that control, to eat it, even if it looks terrifying. They know they picked it. They worked on finding a recipe. They helped their mom make it. So now they're going to eat it. So it's just this brilliant, I was like, that is brilliant idea of how to give control to the child as much as possible and then turn it into a healthy meal.
That really is a great tip, and it's a great tip to end on because we're out of time. So Susan and Danielle, thank you for joining me on It's All About Food. And check out PCRM.org, Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine. And if you're in Manhattan, please check out Jenny Steinhagen's coming up 4-week class. Where can they find out about it?
They can find out at pcrm.org/FFLclasses.
Oh, there we go. Easy. I'm Karen Hartglass. You've been listening to It's All About Food. And join me at responsibleeatingandliving.com. That's where I live. Have a delicious week. Bye-bye.